What up, what up, what up, little people, big people, all people. If you hear the sound of my voice, that means you are listening to another episode of Buffed Up Sports, available on all major podcasting platforms. You know, each episode I usually give like a quick little intro of how my week was going or what do I have that I'm looking forward to, or you know, something of that nature. We ain't got that kind of time today. It's just so much has happened that I got to get it in. And a lot of stuff has only happened in the last week. Not even since the last 2 weeks. Just the last week it's been stuff. So I'm going to get into it. Boxing. I ain't talking about boxing in a minute. Anthony Joshua, he got whooped. I mean, let's be real. He got whooped. His face showed it after the fight, too. He got whooped by Usyk. I ain't going to try to say his first name. I ain't never heard of Usyk before, but Usyk beat him. Usyk used them hands. Joshua, in fact, almost got knocked down a few times in this fight. It somehow managed to go all 12 rounds. In fact, each time Joshua was on the verge of getting knocked out, he didn't because the round would end. If you add about 30 seconds to, I want to say, round 8, round 12, for sure them 2 rounds, you add 30 more seconds, Joshua's getting knocked out. But anyways, he did manage to make all 12 rounds, leaving it to the judges. Now, Joshua's a big name, and he got the hometown crowd behind him because this fight took place in England. And he's the champ going into the fight, so you know how it goes. It's hard to lose your belt off decision, especially in your hometown. So I'm like, Joshua just got lucky tonight. I'm like, he gonna win. Now, personally, I want to see him lose. And not only did I want to see him lose, I actually had him lose in the fight. I scored it 117-111, Usyk. So we get to the judges. I'm nervous because of the reasons I just said. Joshua's in his hometown, and he's the champ. So it's hard to lose your title off a decision when you champ. Judges had it 117-112, and then 116-112. And the last judge had it 115-113, which, whew. But all in favor of the new heavyweight champion, Usyk. And I'm happy for Usyk. I don't know how many people knew about him before the fight. I know I didn't. I had to have people coach me and tell me who he was. They like, yeah, he do this, that. Like, he can box. It's just a matter of if he get hit, how he gonna respond. So I'm like, all right. And that was honestly the perfect scouting report because Usyk straight up outboxed Joshua, hands down. But my thing is this. I don't think Joshua all that. So with Usyk beating him, does that really make him a top heavyweight? Obviously, he has the belt and all, but does he really have the credibility to be a top heavyweight right now? Because if you ask me, I don't think he holds the title that long. He just doesn't seem as big as the other guys because, yes, he was outboxing Joshua, but Joshua also ain't hit him with his toughest shots either, I don't think. So Usyk was getting tagged a little bit, but I just feel like Joshua wasn't really going at him. So if Usyk gets in the ring with somebody who can really throw and he's able to outlast his opponent then yes, he will have my full-blown respect. He has some of my respect right now. I just can't give it all to him. But with Joshua losing, there goes the Fury-Joshua fight. I still think they could probably pull the fight off. It's just not going to be the same hype anymore, which is okay. Because personally, I'd rather see Wilder first Joshua. Hoping that Wilder wins this fight against Fury. More on that next episode. But even if Wilder doesn't beat Fury, I still think you could possibly pull off a Joshua Wilder fight. That would be a little more even match. But again, the hype just wouldn't be there anymore. So that's my take on boxing for the latest. Right, like I said, next episode, more Wilder Fury talk for you. Because I can't wait. I can't wait. Tigers, not much to say. The season's pretty much over. I will say this. One, the main highlight of the season for me was seeing Miguel Cabrera reach the 500 home run mark milestone. Next season, we're looking forward to him reaching the 3,000 hits milestone. Hopefully, that's in April. As far as this season goes, the team fought way harder than what I thought they would. Let's be real. That first month of April for the season, the team looked horrible. I mean, it was at the point I know I wasn't watching games for a minute. It wasn't until they finally got out of April. I want to say around late May, I started getting into them, you know. I started watching the Tigers more after the game I went to, which was in late May. When they beat the Yankees, first game of the series against the Yankees, Robbie Grossman, walk-off home run. One, because of the fact that I was at the game, that got me excited. But also, it's like, we just beat the Yankees, yo. The no-hitter game. Spencer Turnbull, that also got me into it. Akil Baddoo, his rookie season. You know, Casey Mize's rookie season. There was all these things coming together that got me back into the team, able to watch them. And, of course, seeing Miggy Chase history. The Tiger season, all in all, was entertaining. They weren't winning, but they were giving hard-fought games. The team fought to the end for majority of their games. The Pistons, not much popping on their end. They just started training camp. Preseason is coming up this week at the time of this recording. I am going to opening night. I can't wait. More on that on a later episode. I'll talk about that more closer too, because I got a lot to say about opening night. But I'm just happy that preseason's around the corner so we could talk about some Detroit basketball. Yes. Next topic, WNBA. I ain't said this in a minute, but hey, ladies, I have been enjoying the playoffs so far. My problem with the playoffs is, why do they put both semifinal games on the same night? That makes no sense to me. Granted, watching back-to-back basketball games is not the worst thing in the world, but it sucks when you put on two games in one night, then the next night you have none. I don't like that part about it. I wish I could get basketball every night. If I could get a game a night versus two games in one night, I'm taking the game a night easy, because we are at a time of sports where, one, there's no NBA. Baseball is pretty much wrapped up. It's over. I'm not watching another baseball game this year. Football, obviously, is only Sunday. You get your Monday night game. Thursday night games are So, you got all this flexibility throughout the week to put games on. Put them on. I mean, I just want to watch some sport. Like, if they put it on every other night, or if they put on a game, you got Sky first Sun Tuesday. Then Wednesday, I want Aces first Mercury. Thursday, I want Sky first Sun again, and they keep it going like that. That's all I'm asking for. And then I feel like a part of the reason I haven't been into the WNBA as much this year is because something's missing. The Detroit Shock, maybe? Oh, I got more to say about them in this episode too. Stay tuned for that. But I'm gonna stick to the WNBA playoffs right now. This year's WNBA playoffs for the moment. Yes, it is the Chicago Sky first the Connecticut Sun, and then the Las Vegas Aces first the Phoenix Mercury. Those are your semifinal series. My prediction goes the Chicago Sky will beat the Connecticut Sun. I believe the Aces will beat the Mercury. But even though it's going to be, the Sky, I can see the Sky getting in the finals, but I don't see them winning. I can see the Sun getting in the finals. I don't see them winning. The Aces versus Mercury, that's the championship series right there. I strongly believe that whoever comes out of that series will be the WNBA champions. That's really what I believe. I wish this was the finals. I wish one of these teams could have played the Sky, the other plays the Sun in the semifinals. That would have been just as entertaining of a semifinals. And then, of course, the finals, you want the finals to be the biggest entertaining game. I feel like that could have been the real one right there. But we just getting it around early. That's all. I do like the fact that it's still best out of five versus the single game elimination compared to the earlier round. So I guess in that aspect, things are not too bad. But yes, I believe the Aces and Mercury's the championship series. That's the real one. And I said it, I have the Aces winning. So I think the Aces will end up as champs this year. I think Asia Wilson gets her first ring. But wouldn't it be bad to see Diana Taurasi go out, get one more, and call it a career after that? It wouldn't be bad to see Candace get one more in her hometown. Candace Parker. It wouldn't be bad if Candace Parker got a ring in her hometown team, and then she rode off into the sunset. The topic I really want to talk to y'all about. I ain't going to say too much about the Green Bay Packers versus Lions game. Except I don't have to shave my sideburns to look like The Rock. I mean, I give the Lions their props. They hung in the game till it started raining. Then we couldn't hike the ball. Or should I say a quarterback couldn't hold onto the ball after a snap. Jared Goff. But that's all I'm going to say on that game. But let's talk about that Lions versus Ravens game. Oh, we. Man, let me tell you. I just want to tell y'all, everybody know what happened by now. Everybody know the result. I'm just going to tell y'all what happened in my point of view. From my direction, I'm going to tell y'all what happened. We got Detroit Lions at home going against the Lamar. Got to run to the locker room because he got a boo-boo Jackson. I do like Lamar. That's not a diss at him. That was actually funny to me. Y'all ain't seen that. Look it up. Look up Lamar Jackson running to the locker room. If you see that run he was doing, you know what he was really trying to do. He wasn't hurt. That's called, I got to get to the bathroom run. Anyway, this game was exciting for many reasons. One, we got to give it up to Hollywood Brown. Marquise Brown, the Lions and the fans owe him Christmas cards because he kept us in the game by dropping, what, 2 touchdown passes? Easy touchdown passes, should I say? I think even Sammy Watkins dropped one that could have been a touchdown or a big game. So shout out to the Ravens receivers for all the drops, okay? It's much appreciated because it kept us in the game. I don't know how it was a 10-0 game going into halftime, but it was. And speaking of halftime, what's y'all thoughts about the Lions fans booing Sheila Ford during Calvin Johnson's Hall of Fame halftime ceremony? Now, I've been hearing all the opinions back and forth this week. I've heard, oh, they shouldn't have booed her. This lady hasn't done anything. She just took over. She hasn't even had a chance to do anything wrong. Then you had the opinion of, well, it's her family. If she really cared about the team, she would sell it. This is my take. I agree with both. Yes, she hasn't done anything directly. But again, yes, her family is the reason the Lions are in this mess. So she takes the blame by association. If Sheila really want to do good by most, she would get rid of the team. Don't keep it. Don't keep it. Maybe keep it through this Brad Holmes era. See where that goes. If he doesn't work out, they got to go. The whole family. I've been saying it for a minute. They got to sell the team. It's a curse in the Ford family, obviously. They got to go. I'm going to come back to the Lions being sold, too. Trust me. All this stuff I'm saying, keep it in the back of your brain, because I'm going to come back to it before the end of this episode. So let's get back to the actual game. I'm going to skip straight to the fourth quarter. The Lions don't make a push. We're only down 2 with about a minute left. We have to send a kicker up who just got signed off the practice squad, and his career long is 29 yards. Right then and there, I said, uh-oh. As a Lions fan, we don't see the scenario too many times where things just go left. And I said, watch, we're going to have to kick a 30-something yard field goal. Obviously, this is the longest field goal he's kicked in his career. It's going to be a 30-something yarder, and we're going to lose like that. We're going to lose because we ain't got a kicker who can kick 30 yards. I said, watch. I've seen this before too many times. I said, the Lions are going to lose like this. See, the fans at the game was probably cool because they didn't see what the fans at home saw. The fans at home, CBS, kick rocks because they made everyone watching that game at home a nervous wreck by showing, I already forgot our character name. Oh, well. Hey, bad podcasting. Don't podcast like me, kids. Our kicker, they showed his misses before the game. And I mean, they going wide left. They going wide right. And I just put my hand over my face. I said, oh no, dear God. That's all I could think. I was like, oh no, it's about to happen like this. I'm like, the Lions about to screw themselves like we always do. And it's going to be because of this. But shout out to dude, because he did get the kick in. There was no way on God's beautiful earth I was going to trust Jared Goff to get us a touchdown when all we need is a field goal. I was like, at this point, just play it safe. Because if we don't get that touchdown and we didn't kick the field goal, you already know everybody would have been mad about it. People mad about it now, but I still say we made the right move. Now, we kicked the field goal. The Lions have a lead. Was it a 1-point lead or a 2-point lead? Bottom line is, it's still, the game can change leads off a field goal. Lions get on defense. We sack Lamar back-to-back plays. I'm hyped. I'm like, oh, man, we really about to win it. Because remind you, the Ravens got the ball with about a minute left now. We're up. I'm like, yo, we about to do it. Before the 4th-and-19 play, it is a timeout called by Dan Campbell. Now, this I did have a problem with. I understand calling the timeout. I get it. But we had the defense beat. We had them beat. And so I'm like, no, don't do that. And we did. It's 4th-and-19. Ravens get a first down. How the heck do you get a 4th-and-19 conversion? That's not good offense. That's horrible defense. You got them beat 4th-and-19, man. So I'm going to come back to the 4th-and-19, too. Don't worry. But before the play of the game, it was 7 seconds left. Ravens have the ball. The clock hits zero. Should have been the delay of game. No call. I noticed it right away, but I ain't think nothing of it because I'm like, psh, either the Ravens going to have to throw a Hail Mary or they're going to have to kick a deep field goal. So I'm like, what's the worst that could happen? We won't lose this one, right? I'm like, I know it's the Lions, but we're not losing like this, right? The delay of game is not called. Should have been, but it wasn't. A lot of people didn't even notice because of the same reasons I just said. It's like, hey, the Lions not going to lose like this, right? But you're sending up the greatest kicker of all time. I'm a Lions fan, but I'm also a Ray Lewis fan. So I've watched enough Ravens games in the past to know Justin Tucker is that guy. If you call on him to win the game, he's going to do it. So I don't care if it's 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 66 yards out. I'm nervous at that point. So, of course, when he gets ready to line up, everybody, like my dad was like, no way. I'm like, oh, you don't know who this is. I'm like, this is Justin Tucker. It ain't nothing to play with. And I'd be sick. He actually kicked it. I mean, it was straight down the middle. It bounces. I'm like, yes, yes. That boy bounced in. All the little Lions, man. We all know when a kicker gets ready to kick the ball. If the ball hits the crossbar, you best to believe it's bouncing out. It never bounces in. But of course, it bounces in on the line. So let's flash back to the NBA playoffs a couple years ago. 76ers first, the Raptors. Kawhi Leonard for the game. Ball goes doo, doo, doo. It bounced off the rim 4 times that dropped in. I know how them 76ers fans feel now. I remember little kids was crying. I laughed at that video. Now, I can't because I understand their pain. I understand. When that ball bounced, I'm like, yeah. No. That was literally my reaction. It's just the football creators, universe, whatever you want to call it, they just don't like us, man. Because why would they add to the agony if the ball had Justin Tucker kicked that 66-yarder and it went straight through with no ease? I would have took that a little better. It's the fact it bounced just to add to the suspense. It just had to bounce. And of course, a new NFL record is set on the Lions. Longest field goal in history. Of course. What other team to do it on? Y'all know what I always say. Usually we shoot ourselves. Or we get shot. But dang it, both happened this week. Because even though we got shot by the refs by not calling that delay a game, it's 4th-and-19, man. You got to hold them. You got to hold them down. You got them beat. One stop, game over. 4th-and-19, and you couldn't hold them down for one play. We're not talking a 4th-and-1 either. It's a 4th-and-19. Near twice of how many yards you usually get. We shot ourselves on that part. So I know a lot of people's like, we can't put the refs at blame because it's 4th-and-19. You should have been able to convert. That's very true. We should have held them down 4th-and-19, but the refs didn't do us no favors. So though I want to put that game on the refs, I really can't. Because again, it's 4th-and-19. You should have known better. And here, I got a fact for you. This is the second time that the Lions have lost on a record-setting field goal. Tom Dempsey, who had not a full foot, he had half a foot, kicked a then record 63 yards against the Lions back in 1970. And now the Lions lost that game to the Saints 19-17. Justin Tucker sets a record on us, wins the game, and the Lions lost 19-17. You cannot write this up. There's no way you can. So obvious, it's so obvious that the football universe, the football creators, like the football guys, whatever you want to call them, they are against us. They hate us. When does it end? I'm starting to think the Lions might be the first team to go 0-17. We were already the first to go 0-16. The way we've lost our first 3 games, all in heartbreaking fashion, I don't think it's out the picture. we really might just go 0-17. I don't think that's a hot take. Something else I don't think is a hot take. Now, I'm just going to ask the question. Now, I'm going to ask this because I don't know if it's my feelings are hurt or it's just it's time that we need to acknowledge that this is a problem. Earlier in the episode, I was talking about how much I miss my Detroit Shock. Would you rather have the Detroit Shock back over the Detroit Lions? Serious question. I asked because at least the Shock was bringing championships. Three of them things in a five-year span. They weren't even around that long, and they got us three championships. Lions been around, what, 50, 60-something? We ain't won a championship in over 50 years. Come on now. So that's what I got to ask. And the Lions bring so much heartbreak. It's not like they ever get close to winning. Lions haven't won a playoff game in my lifetime. I've never seen the Lions win anything. I'm starting to really question, is it worth even keeping them at this point? Seriously. Shout out to the kids out there who might be adults now or still kids. Shout out to y'all who had family members who were into the Lions and y'all were able to realize, no, this is not for me, and went on to another team. I wish I could have did that looking back. I'm just so, nope, this is my hometown. This is the team I got to go for. I wish I had the mentality to realize I can't do this anymore. But I'm too invested now. I'm so far in. I can't turn my back now, you know? It's over. So really, I mean, y'all can let me know y'all thoughts. I know we all want the Shock back, but if you had to choose the Lions or the Shock, which one are you taking? Like I mentioned, it might just be because my feelings hurt. It might just be recency bias. But a good part of me is thinking about I might just rather have the Shock back at this point over the Lions. I'm so for real. Not everybody keeps up with football. Not everyone keeps up with the Lions. Some may not keep up with sports at all. But everybody knows that the Lions are bad. I mean, it doesn't matter who it is. I've had neighbors, teachers, preachers, all of them know that the Lions are bad. You ask them about Red Wings, Tigers, Pistons, and you might get a variety of answers. They may not know. They might keep up. The Lions, everybody know they bad. So I wonder, do other cities have a team like that? That you just be like, yeah, we know that team ain't gonna never win. I seriously wonder that. Because it's like, we all know it by now. We've all experienced it. If the Lions came up in a conversation, 9 times out of 10, nothing good was really said. And I'm tired of that. But I do wonder, are we the only team or are we the only city that has a team like that? Like, I'm trying to genuinely think, what other city has that team that they be like, ha, you could have said the Cleveland Cavaliers, but look what happened to them. They won a championship after 50 years. The Milwaukee Bucks won a championship after 50 years. Chicago Cubs, what, a 100-year drought they won? Boston Red Sox, same thing, about 100 years they won. I'm not waiting on 100 years for no Lions. I'm going to tell y'all that right now. I'll stop watching. We already about, I think, 60 years in. 40 years, I'm going to be... You mean to tell me I'm going to have to wait to 60 to see the Lions win? I'm really going to have to get that shirt that says win me one before I die. So Sunday when they lost, I left the house. I don't think I've ever been that mad at a Lions game where I left the house. I might have turned off the TV for the rest of the day. I might have put my phone up for the night. I might have just took a nap and slept it off. Sometimes I will just be cool, go play 2K after. Just go play 2K after. But I ain't never been so mad that I had to get up, leave the house. I don't even think, you know, at the end of the games, they showed a little final score graphic. I don't even think I saw that. Because by that time, I was already in my car. I didn't know where I was going. I just sat in the car for a bit and like, I can't believe this one. I did end up finally driving off. I had to take a little joyride because I was upset, man. I was like, ain't no way. Now, it's a shame because I done dogged on the Lions for a good portion of this episode. But I think we beat the Bears Sunday. I swear, man, if we don't, shame on us, man. The Bears have 3 quarterbacks they considering starting against the Lions. If we don't win, really, shame on us. If we lose to a team that's going through that, shame on us. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram and Twitter. My handle is the same for both accounts at RJ_Hunt36. Send me a friend request on Facebook at RJ Hunt. Follow the craziness I post on TikTok at RJHunt36. Thank you for listening. I hope you come back to hear more episodes. If you can, please subscribe, leave a rating, and leave a review, please, because I love to hear the feedback. And if you can, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your cousins, uncle, aunties, brothers, sisters about Bumped Up Sports. See if they want to check it out. Now just remember to follow these words. Spread love. Keep your chest out. Hold your head up. Show off them pretty teeth. Don't you worry about a thing. Till next time, God bless you all. Peace.